Here's a question: an unreasoning fear of failure. Let me suggest that you look at the worst thing that can possibly happen in the situation. Now face it and decide if that did happen, could you take it? If you do that, then anything else that happens will be an improvement. And realize that God only expects failure from us. In John 6:63, the Bible teaches us that the flesh profits nothing. Philippians 3:3, Paul says that we have no confidence in the flesh. In Romans 7, he says that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Well, now, if that be true, then the only thing that we can do is fail. And the only victory is when Jesus is expressing himself through us. So, do not expect more from yourself than God does. In the book of Job, it says that God has no confidence in his saints. And that's true. His confidence is in Christ in his saints, not in the saints themselves. Well, here we go. Loneliness is a real problem. Afraid of just being me, whether navigatorish or not, but just as a child of God. Well, listen, beloved, loneliness in the midst of a crowd is not unusual. But the key to that is the bright reality of the living God. In Hebrews 13:5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and that's not a bad promise. And then over in John 14:8, the Lord Jesus, in talking to his disciples, and I believe this applies to us today, in 14:18, out of the living says this, No, I will not abandon you or leave you orphans in the storm. I will come to you. And whatever the storms of life are, the promise of God in Jesus Christ is, I will be with you. And let me encourage you to spend so much time with him that his bright reality will give you the meaning and the feeling of belonging that you desperately need. And when you find that security in him, you will find, surprisingly enough, that other people will begin to beat a path to your door. Well, here's the last group of questions, and they all pretty well speak to the same thing. Need of greater love for the Lord. I have the problem of not being faithful in the basics. It's hard to stick to them day in and day out. Let me speak to that a moment. We need to recognize why we are involved in the basics. God's blessing upon our life does not depend upon our faithfulness in the basics, because he is not duty-bound to shower his grace upon us at all. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 58, the first two or three verses there are pretty plain on that these people were going through the right motions, but doing it for the wrong motive. They were trying to trade with God. What they were saying, in effect, is, if I have a quiet time, if I memorize three verses a week, if I do a Bible study a week, then God, why aren't you blessing me? But that is not the way it is. It's not a cause and effect relationship. In Proverbs 10:22, in the Amplified, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. And so we cannot, by our own effort, increase the blessing of God upon our lives by 1 ounce. Well, then, where do the basics fit in? The basics are the means which God has given us by which we can make ourselves available to him, so that if he chooses to bless us, he can. And it's obvious that if we are not available to him, he cannot do a work in our heart. It's rather like trying to take a picture of a faraway star with a telescope. You put a light-sensitive plate underneath that telescope's eyepiece, and you train the telescope on the star. Well, now, the imprint upon the plate is not made by the telescope, but made by the light from the star. In the same way, the telescope in our illustration is the basics. They are what we use to train ourselves upon God so that if he chooses, his light can flood through the basics into our own hearts and make the imprint that he wants to make. I feel my relationship to the Lord is growing cold. I don't really desire his fellowship. And though I do enjoy time in the Word, I feel it is very haphazard. Of course, the key to that, beloved, is the heart. Where is your heart? What really motivates you? What really turns you on? What really has your heart? God recognized this. And in writing over in Deuteronomy 5, 29 says, Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But the foundational part of it was, oh, that there were such an heart in them. And we see the same thing in Ezra 7:10, where it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. And until we have a heart desire, really we're not going to see much accomplished in our lives. And Proverbs 18:1 says that through desire, you know, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And the question that you need to answer for yourself is, where really is my heart? What am I giving my life to? Here's another one. My problem is that I can't seem to get all excited about my relationship with God and His Word. My attitude is one of slothfulness and apathy. I can't seem to solve it. I don't have the willpower, here's another one, to make myself do what I know should be done. Well, if you know what you ought to do and it's difficult to do it, confess it to God and ask a buddy to pray with you about it and to check up on you to see if you're doing it. And then just to see how you're doing, let me suggest you write out some goals, some short-term goals and some intermediate goals, and then put them on the top of your prayer page so that every day when you begin to pray, you can review those goals, and at least you'll have to look at them and know what they are. How does one really go about making the decision to follow Christ, to really commit his life to God? Well, one way is when you've tried everything else and found out it doesn't work. Or it can be that you will see the results of someone wholly following God and in their life, and their life will be such a challenge, you'll decide, man, that's the best way to go. Or it may be that you'll just really become convinced of God's love and that He has your best interest at heart. And those are about the only three ways I know of. Inconsistent in the basic, there's another question. Lack of motivation to grow spiritually. Lack of heart for God. Little or no real fellowship with Him. But if you're having trouble that way, do try and find out where your real heart is and where you're headed. Find out if whatever's motivating you, look down at the end of the road and see what you'll look like following that road at the end of your life. Or putting it another way, try and project your thoughts down to the end of your life, to your funeral. Now look back and see what you want your life to have meant, which may help you in deciding which way you want to go. I'm experiencing a real lack of desire to get into the Word and to pray. I feel guilty about this, but that isn't motivating enough, I guess. Thanks for your help. Well, somebody asked me several years ago, have you ever quit the basics and tried something else? And I said, no, never have. And they said, well, why not? And I told them, because my dad told me years ago that when you got a horse that's winning, don't ever get off of him, just keep riding him. And then not long ago, somebody asked me, said, Gene, why do you have a quiet time? And I said, man, desperation. And that's right. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't have what it takes to face the problems of life day by day without fellowship with Jesus and without getting my marching orders from the boss before I go out to get in the ring with those tigers. And so, you know, no credit to me for having a daily quiet time. It's really selfishness in a sense, because I so desperately need that time with Him. Well, whether anybody ever listens to this or not, I appreciate very much privilege of unburdening my heart about it. And let me encourage you again at the end of this time not to be just problem-centered, but to be Christ-centered and to be other people-centered. And then let me give you a little formula, which if you'll follow, I'll guarantee will make you panic-proof. Wouldn't you like to be panic-proof? Well, there are four things which, if you'll believe them, there'll be no way in the world that you can panic. The first one is, believe that God is sovereign, that He is in control. Secondly, believe that God has all power and can do anything that He wants to do. Third, believe that God knows exactly what's going on. I get great comfort from that portion that tells us that every hair on our head is numbered, because if God knows us in that intimate detail, there's nothing going on in our lives that He doesn't know about. And fourth, believe that God loves you. Well, thank you for the privilege of answering your questions. Thank you for being honest with your questions. And I just pray that God might use some of the answers from His Word to encourage and strengthen your heart. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing from your word and from life in answer to these very honest questions which have been presented. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to be honest with you, honest with ourselves, and honest with each other, in order that we might more perfectly reflect you, who are total truth, for Jesus' sake. Amen.